No, Republicans aren't hypocrites on family values. I was actually surprised when I read this. And then even more surprised when I saw the actual statistics, which you can see in today's pile of prep at MikeChurch.com. This is from the Politico, which you would not expect to see this at. Today, Roy Moore stands as Exhibit A in conservative hypocrisy when it comes to family values, saying one thing in public and doing another thing in private. Yesterday, it was others. Plenty of Republican leaders from Gingrich to Trump to Barton have failed to practice the values conservatives preach. But our conservative outside of the political class failing to live up to the family values associated with the right wing since the 1980s. Now, folks, the answer might surprise you. As I said, it surprised me. So I put the graph in today's pile of prep, and it displays very nicely if you click on it. The graph that I put in from the Institute for Family Studies, the source is General Social Surveys, 2000-2016. Here's the what was studied. Percent of parents age 18 to 55 in their first marriage by partisan identification and religiosity. It's broken down into three groups: Democrats, Independents, and Republicans. There are two questions that are asked on this graph, or one question and two answers. First, doesn't attend religious services regularly. Second, attends religious services regularly. Now, if I asked you amongst Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, which group would have the lowest number of people that attend weekly religious services, what would your answer be? If you had to guess between the three, most of you are going to go, ooh, miniature. It's got to be the Democrats. Everybody hate the Democrats. Well, that would be wrong answer. This is what was surprising about this. What's the right answer? Independence. Now, I actually noodled on this for a minute, and I thought about this. Wait a minute. It actually does make sense. How does it make sense? Okay, well, let me break this down. When someone declares themselves as a political independent, well, they may think that they're being all upwardly mobile and fashionable and, you know, the types that are approved by the gang and the crowd that hangs out at LouRockwell.com. Libertarians. Note, I did not say libertines. Libertarians. And the like. They fancy themselves as, you don't own me. No one owns me. I'm an independent. You understand me. I don't buy any of the... And to a certain point, that's admirable. To a certain point. What else is an independent, though? What else is an independent? Political party independent. What else are they doing, though, in declaring themselves as independents? Well, they are rejecting the authority of the political party. Now, this is not to say that if you register as a Republican or a Democrat, then you got to get on your knees and grovel below the leadership or the kingship of Reince Priebus, for example, and whoever is ahead of the Democrat Party these days. But there's a difference. Now, this is the point that I'd make about this. There's a difference, though, in between groveling at the feet of the leader of a political party, and thus declaring yourself and recognizing and acknowledging that the leader of the party does have authority over the party. He's supposed to lead the party. He's supposed to be true. He's here. Think of it this way. The leader of the Republican Party is supposed to defend Republican dogma. And in doing so, he's also supposed to drive the party's bus and help it to win elections. This is why electoral politics can never solve society's moral problems. Because you can't vote on those things. It doesn't have anything to do with the political process unless you're trying to defend them legislatively. Outside of that, the two are not related. Now, they can be, but that's another discussion for restoring the order. But acknowledging that there is a authority figure in a party and acknowledging that authority, that's part of being in the Republican Party. You know, the people that sit out there and whine and carp and complain all day long on radio shows like this one, or wannabe radio shows that are imitators of this one, that used to happen, not so much anymore. You know why? Peddling the truth. Let me tell you, 2 years and a couple of weeks in, come closer, young Padawan. It doesn't pay. It doesn't pay. Don't do it. Find another way to make a living, because this one is fraught with peril and disappointment in the material world, if you will. But back to the point. So an independent, I'm not surprised at all that independents attend religious services less than Democrats. That's not surprising. Again, understanding party structure, hierarchy, authority, and the rejection of it. So it's totally understandable. Now, here's how it breaks down for those who are Republicans or who do attend religious services. 55% of Democrats, 56%, so it's basically a tie of independents, 68% of Republicans attend religious services, according to the Family Studies Institute. Now, they went even further and broke it down by red state, blue state. Now, there's a song on my 2013 release, my anthology. It's called Red State Blitz. And, gosh, I haven't played that song in so long. I can find it, and I have it here somewhere. But it's kind of about the difference between red states and blue states. But when he breaks it down by state, it gets even more interesting, because there actually is a chasm and a divide between what people do that live in red states and what they do when they live in the far north there, up there, you know, there, up there, there, and are blue staters. In the wake of the Roy Moore scandal, right, see Politico, a spate of articles on evangelicals, fundamentalists, and conservatives. A little Ted Cruz there for you on a Wisdom Wednesday. Have made just this case, arguing that conservatives of one stripe or another are family values hypocrites. Writing in the New York Times, for example, Nicholas Kristof recently wrote, "Conservatives thunder about family values but don't practice them." To add insult to injury, Kristof also argued that it is actually liberals who practice the values that conservatives preach. And his primary evidence, red states often do worse than blue states when it comes to family-related outcomes such as divorce and teen pregnancy. But, folks, that's not what that story says. That story does not say that. The story says something else entirely. The story says that even when it comes to divorce rates, red staters don't act the way blue staters do. And look, when I read this, I went, come on, this got to be rigged. It has to be rigged. It's not. Here, Christoph is indebted to a book by family scholars Naomi Kahn and June Carbone, Red Families versus Blue Families, which makes the case that blue states have more successful and stable families than do red states. Well, if you're into studying this sort of thing, can this be demonstrated? Is it, what's the word, junk bond? Not anecdotally, empirically. Can you empirically demonstrate it? And the answer to the question is no, you cannot. That's what the surprise is. So back to the story. And there's all kind of other graphs here on this on this question. And then he gets into some more of the details. But this state-based argument obscures more than it illuminates about the links between partisanship and family life for ordinary families in America. Indeed, when we look at states, when we look not at states but at counties in the U.S., we see that counties that lean Republican across the country as a whole have more marriage, less non-marital childbearing, in other words, less bastards, and more family stability than counties that lean Democrat. How do you like that?